The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
50-50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
Title IX has been paramount for us, particularly female athletes, because it created the opportunities that we are living through today. And I'm grateful to be a product of the many women that have blazed the trail and created those pathways for us. So Title IX has really just changed the game for women in sport to allow us to say basketball is basketball, period. It just is equal opportunity.
And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here. We're live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed. RG3 is making plays. PK is going to be handing out pancakes, whether he knows it or not. Bobby Marks is giving me insight into tomorrow's NBA draft. And we've got Jeff Saturday and Tim Legler as well. Let's do it, Cindy. Let's roll it for hour number two. It's time to get up with a Gronk goodbye. Is it really over for the all-time great? Well, you need to hear what his agent had to say before you make up your mind on that. Meanwhile, Kyrie, a week to the day we learn his fate. Will Brooklyn be busted up before it even gets going? And then, as mentioned, we're handing out hockey pancakes and answering the crazy question, are these guys even tougher than the football players? All that and more as we get up in this hour, which starts right now in the National Football League, where yesterday Rob Gronkowski announced that he is retiring once again. He played 11 seasons with his longtime quarterback, Tom Brady, 9 of those in New England, 2 of them in Tampa. He released an announcement yesterday on Instagram, Gronk did, in which he said, I want to thank the whole entire first-class Buccaneers organization for an amazing ride, trusting me to come back to play and help build a championship team. I will now be going back into my retirement home, walking away from football again with my head held high, knowing I gave it everything I had, good or bad, every time I stepped out on the field. In reaction, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, texted Shefty, and he said, quote, it would not surprise me if Tom Brady calls him during the season to come back and Rob answers the call. This is just my opinion, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rob comes back during the season or next season. So, well, with that news, and we bring Jeff Saturday in for the first time this morning, kind of takes you away from the is he the greatest tight end of all time conversation, right, Jeff? Because it most certainly does not feel like we've seen the last of Gronk. What do you think?
I don't think we've seen the last of Gronk. And listen, I think Gronk's looking at this offseason. Brady comes back after he retires. He's working his tail off. He wants to run a bunch of routes in triple-digit weather. Gronkowski's like, I'm going to pause a little bit. Maybe late September, early October. Body will be feeling great. Temperatures will be a little better in Tampa. You'll need me. I'll need you. I'll come back. I'm with Rosenhaus on this, man. I think right now it's daunting. I think as the season gets started and Tom Brady makes that call, come on back, man. That's a persuasive human being. I think he goes back and plays a little more.
RG3, training camp, right? He does at this stage of his life and his career,
right.
He does not want to be at training camp.
No, he does not want to be at training camp. He's playing chess, not checkers, guys. He doesn't want to go through training camp, the preseason, the early parts of the season, get his body all torn up. He's already got 4 rings. So I think he's just going to wait his time, see how the Bucks do. I'm so convinced that Rob Gronkowski is going to come back, and I said this earlier.
Yeah.
I'm willing to jump into the East River if he doesn't in the winter. Now, that's how convinced I am, and Brady already is making those calls for him to come back, putting out memes on social media. So I think they're setting the stage for him to come back later in the year, and Drew Rosenhaus obviously shows us that already.
You've just upped the ante, parenthetically, for those who don't know. That's the East River, directly with that little boat going by behind us. Now you said you would jump in the river. Now you said in the winter.
In the winter.
So Graziano, he's got a lot at stake here. To be honest with you, that could be a ratings boom for Get Up. So if you can talk Gronkowski out of coming back, I'm all ears. What can you do for me here, Graz?
I think that would be fun. We'll see what we can do. I doubt I can do that. I think Tom Brady would be a more persuasive voice in his ear in that case. You know, you guys had Buster Olney on. It reminded me of when I used to cover the Yankees, and Roger Clemens did this, right? He would retire, and they'd have the whole ceremony and give him, like, a burnt orange pickup truck and whatever. And then, like, in June of the following year, he announced, hey, he's coming back to play again. So, and he was a guy that didn't want to go to spring training, didn't want to get his body ready to go through a whole entire baseball season at that point in his career, and didn't need to because he knew that someone would call and he would have the job that he wanted midseason. So Gronk could be setting that up. Look, we could be underestimating him. He could just be done. It's possible. We could see Robert Griffin III in the East River in January, which would be, I think, a huge mistake, but the man said what he said. So we'll see. But I do think we'll continue to be talking about this when the season starts.
Let the record show, Robert. I grew up here. That river, very clean. Very clean. You'd be fine.
He's lying.
He got no issues. Jeff, how about a quick football question? If in this, do they need him? Let's just live in a world where Robert Griffin is swimming in the East River, and Gronk does not come back this year. How much of an impact does that have on Brady's chance of getting back to another Super Bowl?
Minimal. Listen, I think this is still a top three NFC team right now. I mean, you think about the Rams, the Packers, I put them in this same category. Again, I think Brady's a good player. I think from a tight end perspective, Brady's going to bring guys along. But remember, like, Tom Brady's done this thing forever. He understands it's not how you play at the beginning of the season. They'll take some lumps early in the season. They've had an offensive lineman retire. They had one leave. So they have some other pieces and parts they're going to have to fit together as well. But this football team with Tom Brady driving it, he understands what needs to be done. But I still think it's a top three team with Gronk or without. I think Gronk adds, especially red zone threat as the season progresses, just the continuity he and Brady have, I think that's the biggest thing you face with Gronk. Not as much as it was back in the past, but that red zone is still vital for him. I think that's where he could add a bunch if they add him in the middle part of the season.
Well, look, Jeff played with Peyton Manning. The great quarterbacks, particularly as they get older, it has been my observation, they like the security blankets. They like the guys they know and trust and have been with. And that feels to me, RG3, as a quarterback yourself, like maybe the most significant piece of this for Brady.
Oh, 100%. Jeff is correct. They're going to be a really, really good football team. But with Rob Gronkowski, they're the NFC favorites. Without him, they're just another one of the contenders. Hmm. His numbers are undeniable when it comes to his impact on Tom Brady and the Bucks. In the last 2 years, they've been the number one red zone offense, and Brady has thrown 48 touchdowns and zero interceptions with Gronk on the field. So I think from that standpoint, yeah, they're not going to struggle without Gronk, but they need Gronk, and Brady needs him for a tight end that has won 4 Super Bowls with Tom Brady and also saved his tight end multiple times over the past few years. He's going to miss him, and he will be calling him probably in November, December. I don't know about October and September.
We will find out. So that is our number one story on the field in pro football. The number one story, however, away from the game itself, as we move on to Deshaun Watson. Yesterday, Tony Busby, who is the attorney for the women accusing the Browns quarterback, announced that 20 of the 24 lawsuits filed against Watson had been settled. Busby said the terms and amounts of the settlements are confidential. 2 grand juries in Texas have decided not to seek criminal charges against Watson. Those took place earlier this year. But the NFL continues to investigate whether Watson violated the league's code of conduct. There is no timetable as to when punishment from the NFL could be handed down. So let me bring Dan Graziano back into the conversation, my insider. Here's Tony Busby with this actual statement. He said, today I announced that all cases against Watson, with the exception of 4, have settled. We are working through the paperwork related to those settlements. Once we've done so, those particular cases will be dismissed. The terms and amounts of the settlements are confidential. We won't comment further on the settlements or those cases. So those are the specifics here. Now we bring in Dan Graziano. Dan, and so from the perspective of the National Football League, with this very significant development, 20 of the 24 cases being settled, how, if at all, should we expect that to impact what happens next?
Well, the NFL came out very quickly yesterday with a statement that said, don't expect that it has no impact on the collectively bargained discipline process. That phrase, collectively bargained, is the one to pay attention to, because the league has tried to stress this point. Under the new collective bargaining agreement signed 2 years ago, there is a jointly appointed discipline officer by the NFL and the NFL Players Association. So what will happen now, and I think it'll probably happen soon, The league's investigation will conclude, and they'll make a recommendation of discipline, whether it's a fine, whether it's a suspension, whether it's both. And then that recommendation will go in front of former U.S. District Judge Sue L. Robinson, who is the jointly appointed discipline officer. She will have a hearing. She will likely talk to Watson and other witnesses and then make a decision about whether the league's proposed discipline is justified. The NFLPA and Watson's attorneys will contest this case in front of her and argue for a reduction in the discipline. This is the first such case since the new CBA was signed. Because of that, it is very difficult, if not impossible, to determine what the timetable is for a final outcome here, even if the league announces its proposed punishment in the next couple of days.
I think that's a really important point for the viewers who have not been following that side of it, because it's not the kind of thing that football fans would generally be concerned with. But there's the NFL's decision, there's a timetable on that, and then there's an entirely different procedure that will then begin to take place. So if a football fan were to say, is it reasonable to expect that this could not be decided by the time training camp begins? There is at least a possibility of that, right?
Absolutely, there's a possibility of that because we don't know the timetable for how the discipline officer will act. In the CBA, it says the decision from the league has to come at least 10 days before her scheduled hearing. So once the league makes an announcement, that hearing by the discipline officer would begin 10 days later, or maybe even later than that. But we just don't know how long she's going to take to make her decision or what she'll base it on in terms of precedent, the arguments made in front of her. So as a result of that, we are kind of flying blind here.
That's correct. So, again, the developments of yesterday feel extraordinarily consequential in a variety of ways, but we do not know with specificity how they will impact when, if and when, Deshaun Watson is next on the field. If there are any further developments, of course, you will get them here. In the meantime, we will go back to basketball as we continue in a moment. In a very important week, the Nets have a huge decision to make on Kyrie Irving after he makes his first. We'll tell you what it is and how it all might impact the great Kevin Durant. Plus, we cannot wait for this. We will settle once and for all one of the great sports debates. Who's tougher, the football players or the hockey players? We got PK in the house, and he's got pancake. Jeff Saturday, take a look. RG3,
come on in.
Take a look.
Are these pancakes?
RG3.
These pancakes are a little cold. Let's heat them up.
This is the East River.
Let's heat them up.
This right here?
Yeah. We'll get your bathing suit.
Oh, my gosh. I almost lost my life.
Dude, pancakes are a little cold. Let's heat them up. Snap.
That was fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw them out the club. Swagoo, throw them out the club. You see them? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh.
Okay, pancakes is one of our favorite things. And today we're going to do a hockey edition. Now, we got to get us here. But Jeff likes it when we get kind of fine.
Keeping it right here. Keeping it right here for the flizzy.
Oh, boy, I look ridiculous.
Right here okay. For the flizzy. Snap.
Jeff Saturday.
Snap.
Snap.
Hey, Jeff Saturday.
Snap.
Come on, man.
Jeff Loose Saturday. Hips. I don't have any of that. Jeff Saturday. Here we go. We got a hockey edition of the pancakes. Sat him down. Take it away.
Well, I am fired up, fellas. Get a little hockey action. Connor McDavid, I want to show you how this thing starts. We're giving him one pancake, but watch the smoke show he puts on at his own bit. Give him some. Oh, my goodness. I absolutely love looking at the hip extension. Comes out of it. Gets him. Oh, it's a thing of beauty. Here's my only issue. Why did I only give him one pancake? Because he knocked his own tooth out. Look at him check it. Like, as soon as he does, he's checking his own teeth. His boys on the bench are looking for it, too. You can't knock yourself out, dog. One pancake. Love the smoke
we'll
show.
Give him one.
Gotta have a better finish. Now, listen. Reeves, this thing is a thing of beauty. Ryan Reeves, I want you to see this. Look
Cup.
At this. It's how he bakes it. Yep. He bakes this right here, Greeny. He's like smooth. They give it to him. Oh, he put him down, knocks him on his back. I love it. He, like, played a little possum, and it had him to him. Shoulder it right in the sternum. I mean, you look at it. Love the beauty right there. Two pancakes for that. Look at that.
That one
head
hurts.
Hitting first. That is a thing of beauty. And then to finish this thing out, look at this right here. As he's coming down, he's going to get near. Look at the speed. Oh! Oh, my goodness. Oh, listen, this is across the ice, y'all. When you're coming that far, there is nothing you can do. It's like a bullseye. You are the bullseye. You see something coming at you, right at you. You can't avoid it. And if you listen, if you play that a little longer, you'll see as he got up to get away, he got him again. So there really should be two on there. It's a three pancaker. Absolute thing of beauty right here.
That's Marcus Foligno with that third one there. PK, I mean, this is your world here. Jeff is usually, you know, preaching to the football choir. How about the – what is it like being on the wrong side of one of those?
I can tell you this. The other two guys, Marcus Foligno hits pretty hard. Ryan Reeves, you do not want to get caught by that dude. Like, he's – I've been hit by him before. Well, that's what happens when you – when you piss me off, you know what I mean? That's what happens right there. Cup, boom! And you know exactly, that's right in Hollywood too, right in LA, Staples Center, all the lights.
Oh, he remembers it.
Oh, yeah, whenever I go into Kobe's building, you know I gotta leave my mark.
Oh, so PK dishing out a couple of
yes,
pancakes.
Sir.
Okay, so yes, it does bring up an interesting question, because I've always said, you have to, and to use a hockey analogy, you got to skate on both sides of the line between being tough and being at least a little crazy to play these sports. Yep. So I ask the question, I'll start with you, RG3. Mm-hmm. Who, at the end of the day, who's tougher? The hockey players or the football players?
I mean, it's the football players. The football players are tougher. Listen, guys are out there playing with no ligaments in their knees. They got busted up ankles. We actually have concussion protocols because guys are getting hit in the head and they don't want to have the CTE issues like they've had in the past. I'm actually shocked that these guys just get up like nothing just happened, right? They get popped and then they pop up like nothing happened.
We're tougher,
they just,
that's why.
No, it's not that you're tougher. You're just tough. Not getting hit as hard as these guys on the gridiron are. Look at these hits right here, man. Justin Herbert getting smashed in the backfield, okay. Justin Fields, and look, these guys are just playing patty cake.
PK, are you going to take that?
Listen to me. Hockey, no matter how big the hit is, if you got a problem, you get to settle it, and we settle it the old-fashioned way. You drop the gloves, and you eat some punches, you give them out, and then after the game, we go, we have a little drink together, we have some wine, and we break bread. But there's no question, hockey players are the toughest athletes on the planet, and also they're the best looking athletes
on the planet. Oh my goodness. Now,
let's get that out there. Let's get that out there. That's a different segment. That's a different segment.
Jeff, how about it? Who's tougher, the football players or the hockey players?
Football players are absolutely tough. Think about this. You have 11 dudes trying to crush another dude. In hockey, it's always one guy, one guy. Everybody circles around and watch them fight. In football, it's a free-for-all, bro. It's absolute chaos. Ain't no one. We're all getting it. You don't know which side you're getting it from. Gotta be football. But I will say this. I'm going to give hockey some love. Of all the other sports, hockey is a close second to football players in toughness and craziness. Now, as far as looks go, it ain't even close. Football far exceeds all the rest. We know that. You're looking at RG3 and me on the TV right now so we can see that. No argument on that one either.
Go ahead, PK.
Let me tell you something, okay? There's no QB slide in hockey, okay? There's also no out of bounds either. You can't run out of bounds like you can in basketball, in football, in hockey. There's 20,000 people that you got to run through. You
and
know what I mean?
And there's a board sitting there. Yeah, that
concrete,
you run into. Yeah.
Steel.
You've seen Cam Hayward, right?
Yeah.
You've seen J.J. Watt?
Yes.
Look at PK.
Yes. Look at me. Hey, let's go, baby.
Those guys. Could you imagine getting hit by Cam Hayward?
Don't get it twisted. Off season. Do you want to buy or you want to try? What do you want to do? You want to buy?
Hey, Greeny.
I'll give you all you want.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Jeff.
Hey, Greeny.
Yeah.
Hey, there's no out of bounds. There's also no teeth in hockey. So if we're talking about beauty, no out of bounds, no teeth either.
You don't see football players get up spitting chiclets quite as often as you do with the hockey players. Let me show everyone, just so we can create Jeff's, you know, sort of bona fides on all of this. Show him against Vince Wilfork. Vince Wilfork, who is he's a mountain of a man. I mean, he's like a hotel of a man. And take a look at Jeff Saturday.
Yes,
just
sir.
Moving him here against his will. Look at Jeff. Look at that.
Vince ain't gonna like that one.
That's what I'm talking about. That's taking a man against his will, baby.
So at the end of the day, the pancakes, I think what we can definitively conclude is that these are the two toughest
100%.
Groups 100%. Of professional athletes, right?
No question. No, football players, I got a lot of respect for them. And definitely, man, I watched that game it's physical. It might be a little bit more physical than hockey.
Okay, so then, here's what we can do for you. We don't just ask the questions. We settle them. Let's bring in the judge. Dan Graziano.
What is this guy wearing?
Oh, my goodness.
It's Judge Judy.
You know, I went to journalism school. Anyway, Graziano. You're in the role of the judge. By the way, I asked him why he has this robe. It's a Halloween costume of some kind. What were you reenacting, the Salem witch trials? Anyway, go
don't
ahead,
know.
Graziano. You
don't
be
know
the
what
judge
costume
here.
Is from.
Who wins?
I just know it's in the house.
Okay, who wins?
So it's very difficult for me because, look, I have to associate with football players. It would be very easy for me to just say football players because I don't want to have to face them after I rule against them. However, the two points that PK made that really stuck with me were the one about no out of bounds and the one about how they have condoned fist fights in the NHL. Like, you have to be prepared not only to absorb a hit, but to then actually have a fist fight. And you can't do that in the NFL. They pull you off the field. They suspend you. So I think in a very close vote, I have to rule in favor of PK and the hockey players here because the football players don't have to back it up by actually throwing hands. And I think that probably breaks the tie for me.
So let it be written. So let it be done. Judge Graziano has ruled.
Thank
it's
you very much.
It's unimpeachable. All right. That is well played.
It's not the
that
players'
well
fault,
done.
Though. They can't fight.
And that, is now
fault.
An argument that has finally been settled once and for all. Oh, by the way, game four of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight with the Avs up 2-1 after the Lightning won game 3 on Monday night. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern on ABC and on ESPN+. Off we run next to basketball. The Lakers were exactly one game over 500 this season when their big three played together. Why should we think they'll be any better next year? We will ask our collection of experts as we continue. And now the best part, the pancakes can finally be served one way or another.
Let's heat them up, though, first. Let me get them hot. We want some hot cakes first. No. Yeah. This is how we do it. Cup.
Yeah.
Gronk.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and we're talking basketball. It's a huge few weeks in front of us. A lot of decisions to be made. James Harden averaged just 22 points a game this past season. He has a player option worth over $47 million. What will happen in Philly? Andrew Wiggins, fresh off a championship, an all-star season, a critical role that he played in the NBA Finals. Plus, Jordan Poole has a $3.9 million team option. He could get $100 million. And then there's Kyrie Irving. That one's right around the corner. He has till a week from today to pick up his $36.5 million player option to stay with the Nets. I will repeat again, if he declines the option, he could become an unrestricted free agent. And so Tim Legler and Bobby Marks been with us all morning long, and Jay Will comes across the hall now from KJM. We always appreciate it. Let's just start right there.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Nets be giving Kyrie Irving right now the max? He wants the supermax. And that's how much is the supermax for him?
It's $248 million.
It's just a mere $248 million. Are we good with that? If you're Joe Tsai and Sean Marks, are you putting that on the table?
I think there actually needs to be some stipulations in that contract to a degree. But I will say at the end of the
day. What are stipulations?
Well, I mean, we talked about this on my show.
Games
played? Amount of games played, things of that sort.
If you're Kyrie, are you signing that?
I don't know how you factor into injuries on something like that.
That's what I mean.
Injuries are part of the game, so I will probably deny that. But at the end of the day, are you willing to lose Kevin Durant? Is the question that the Nets have to ask themselves. Are you willing to rebuild and be left with Ben Simmons in the cupboard to start your franchise over again and picks? Because these two are as thick as thieves, man. I've been saying it for a while. They look at each other not only as brothers, but as equals. It's not a LeBron James, Kyrie thing where he's referring to him as a kid. It's not a KD, Stephen Curry thing where whose team is it really, even though KD got, you know, multiple finals, MVPs. That's Steph's team. That's LeBron's team. At the end of the day, it's their team. So if you're willing to lose Kevin Durant, then go ahead.
So that answers the question I was going to ask you next, but I feel like I still want to dive more deeply into it. Whatever it is that happened this past year, and it was an unimaginable disaster in every way that something could be, it has not diminished that bond. KD is still as 100% supportive of going forward with Kyrie as equals as he has ever been.
It's not only the bond, in my opinion, Granny. It's also the fact that it's these two against the world. Mm. I said that when they formed their relationship the first time. I'm like, it's going to be Kyrie and KD against everybody. So all the stuff that occurred this year, did you hear KD publicly speak on any of it? No.
Only he positively,
had,
only
he
supportively.
He had Kyrie's back.
Yeah, he did.
So there's nothing that would lead me to the conclusion after seeing a repeated history of him having his back that he wouldn't have his back now when he needed him the most.
So, Tim Legler, let me bring you in. I mean, how does that impact everything? Because, you know, we were talking here. Bobby came up with the idea, give him a four-year contract. The first two are guaranteed. The next two are not based upon the number of games that he plays. Is Kyrie going to be willing to do that? Who knows? The Durant factor in all of this, Timmy Legs, how does that factor into all of this?
Well, yeah, and listen, Jay's 100% right. That should factor into to a great deal. And obviously, Kyrie Irving's talent dictates that he's worth that kind of money when he's at his best. I just think the stipulations have to be there. And for me, if he were to opt out and I were another team looking at Kyrie Irving, talking about giving a guy a supermax, I'd have a problem sleeping at night if I was a front office executive making that kind of decision and guaranteeing that kind of money to somebody that has been unavailable for more games than he has been available since he got to Brooklyn. In fact, he has played basically the same number of playoff games, period, since he left Cleveland as he did in their one championship run. So there are a lot of things there that would make you be wary of giving him that kind of money. But I think the best point you make about why they would is because of what Jay just said. You know, they're tied to this. They're married to this. Obviously, Harden left, so it doesn't look like it did in the beginning. But these two guys still believe they've got enough talent, depending on what this roster construction around them is going to look like, to make a serious run. And that's what you're going to be left with. Kevin Durant looking around saying, is this really what I want to be a part of if James mm-hmm. Harden and Kyrie Irving are both not there anymore?
Mm-hmm. All right, Bobby. So now what?
This is different than James Harden. This is different what happened at the trade deadline when they went to Kevin Durant and they said, this is what, you know, James Harden doesn't want to be here. We can get you Ben Simmons. You're not going to Kevin Durant and saying, you know what, we can't work out a deal for Kyrie Irving. He's going to go elsewhere. Are you okay with it? And of course, what Durant's going to say is, no, I'm not okay with it. Who's that other player to come play with? And we can talk about contracts with, you know, games played. But at the end of the day, if Kevin Durant wants Kyrie Irving on this roster for 4 years at $192 million fully guaranteed, it's up to ownership now to decide, do I want to do that and make that commitment? And if not, here are the consequences as far as what is going to happen. And the consequences is likely that Kevin Durant will ask to be traded.
So let's live in a world where this all does stay together. One way or another, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons actually get to play together next year. What is that team in the Eastern Conference, Jay Will?
I mean, they're one of the favorites to win the whole damn thing.
They are actually right now at Caesars. They are tied with the Celtics.
And Greeny, by the way, and Legs, I would love to hear your opinion on this. Ben Simmons increases the pace of how this team actually should play, right? The game becomes faster. What he brings to you on the defensive end is different. And another piece that I'm sure a lot of people are overlooking, Joe Harris coming back also now gives you shooting on the perimeter, gives you another tough-nosed defender. With their bench, and there's still questions around Bruce Brown and some other pieces, obviously, but with that core, I like my odds in the Eastern Conference.
Tim Legler, is that a championship team that we're talking about, we're putting together? You see the title favorites. The Nets are second. They're tied with the Celtics as the best odds in the East, and they are just behind the defending champion Golden State Warriors. I get it. I understand it. Tim Legler, what are they? What do you think?
I think they get thrown right into that category with Milwaukee, with Boston, with Miami. They're absolutely on the short list of teams that could come out of the Eastern Conference. I agree with what Jay said about Ben Simmons. Look, we've got to see him because who knows right now what Ben Simmons is going to look like. How is he, you know, mentally in terms of his confidence level and his willingness to come and give everything he has to try to make this team something special. He absolutely not only creates pace, he creates offensive opportunities for the rest of their roster. I'm not even worried about him creating offense for KD and Kyrie. They don't really need it that much. Those other guys do. And Ben Simmons is the best playmaker on that roster if he's right. The other thing, he takes a lot of pressure off of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving defensively with who they have to guard. And over the course of an 82-game season and a playoff run, that is huge. But we have to see him first. On paper, all three guys healthy, that's no question that they belong on that short list of teams that could be playing in the NBA Finals.
I want you guys to think about this. Think about the 86 Mets, right? It was chaos, right? But chaos was almost like their best chance at winning the whole thing. Like that is kind of the version of what's occurring in Brooklyn. Like it's going to seem chaotic, but at the end of the day, if they're able to win a championship, it's worth doing because their pieces would add up ultimately to being one of the best teams in the East.
That's exactly
and the country.
Right. Yeah, everything may look crazy, but then a ball rolls through somebody's legs and you never know what might happen. Are you buying it or not? Are you buying the Nets as a legit contender next year if they figure out a way to put this together?
Oh, I think you have to. And that's the beauty of the conversation here is that why would you walk away from it when you basically gave up so much for the Harden trade? And when you made the signings in 2019, you knew what you were getting yourselves into. Right? Like you knew what comes when you acquire or sign two franchise level players here. And as I said, the alternative is that you go back to becoming a lottery team without these two players on your roster.
Final tell you, word. Greeny, I'm not sure that Kevin Durant is in Brooklyn without Kyrie Irving wanting to be in Brooklyn.
Meaning he wouldn't have gone in the first place? Or the day Kyrie leaves, he wants out?
I'll say it again. I'm not sure Kevin Durant is in Brooklyn if Kyrie Irving weren't in Brooklyn.
Understand that. I just want to make sure. Are you talking about in the past or you're talking about going forward?
I'm talking about D, all the above.
Okay, I think that was C, take it. Okay.
C, fair. Probably C.
You know
what I'm talking about. It's typically D, Legs.
Final word, Legs. Quickly, go.
I was going to say, could you imagine if it plays out the way we just said and the Brooklyn Nets end up in the finals against the Golden State Warriors and then becomes nicknamed the Bus Driver Finals. The Bus Driver Finals. It's a bus driver drag race, baby. That's what we got at that point. I can't wait.
That's exactly right. For the older viewers, you'll know this reference. That becomes the Ralph Cramden Finals, the Ralph Cramden Invitational. He was a very famous bus driver. Meantime, I got one other team I want to ask about very quickly. We had an interesting discussion an hour ago about what if the Lakers' big three of LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis are all healthy. Tim Legler said he would see that as a contending team in the Western Conference, depending on what they put around him. Bobby and I are skeptical. Jay, how about you?
I'm skeptical. I am curious to see how Darvin Ham comes in and creates some new dynamics on this team offensively. I mean, they were one of the worst defensive teams last year as opposed to a couple years ago. They were top two. So I think there are a lot of changes. The ancillary pieces around LeBron, AD, and Russ, I think are imperative. But look, I'm never going to be the person to sit up on national TV and tell you that I'm going to ever expect LeBron James to do anything other than be worldly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy was in the MVP conversation. You do think if you're able to add AD with the faster pace with Russ that they will be in the conversation, but I still need to see what ancillary pieces you put around them.
Bobby, what can they start doing here? The draft is tomorrow. They don't have a pick. The offseason begins after that. What?
Bargain shopping. and being creative. I mean, you've got seven roster spots, the veteran minimum exception, the tax mid-level. I think you're going to lose Malik Monk, who basically outplayed his contract here. So what happens with those seven or eight roster spots is going to determine, I think, how far this team can go next year.
Give me a final word on it, Timmy Legs.
Listen, I just don't think – I think anybody that would write off a healthy LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you do it at your own peril, because you just can't deny they're two of the most complete players in the NBA. Now, listen, having said that, I don't expect them to be healthy. I just don't think the track record in recent memory dictates that we should buy into that. But the narrative is, what if? That's the whole point of the question. And I say, what if those guys are healthy and they find a better role for Russell Westbrook? And I think that could mean coming off the bench. I'm a big believer in Darvin Ham, having been a former teammate of his and just seeing his intensity, his communication skills, and what he has already said he's going to try to do. I just believe that if you have those two guys out there for a full season, they check off so many boxes on both ends of the floor. I'm not willing to go in and write them off if they're healthy.
That's fair. Look, I have no idea how good they will be, but the one thing I think we can rest assured of is they will be interesting one way or the other. Jay Will, awesome as always. KJM, ESPN Radio, every morning, coast to coast. Thank you for coming over. As we continue in just a moment, our buddy Orlovsky has ranked the top five, his top five quarterbacks under 25, presumably to spur a discussion. Well, mission accomplished. We're going to discuss it because everybody has thoughts. And we have this, Sneaky Hembo and Graziano, the best matchup in sports. After Ben Roethlisberger, who played the second most seasons in Pittsburgh Steelers history? That's the question the judge will try to answer right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and here we go, Judge Graziano. Here's the question. Ben Roethlisberger, this will be their first year without him in forever. He played the most seasons as a Steeler in history. Who played the second most?
There's a lot of choices here. Look, the Steelers keep guys for a very long time. Obviously, once a Steeler, always a Steeler, all that kind of stuff. So you got to think back a little bit. I'm pretty sure it's the longtime center, Mike Webster. I think that's whose record Roethlisberger broke a couple of years ago. Mike Webster's my guess.
That's correct. I give it up. I mean, you got to give it up to the man. He's unbelievable. Mike Webster, 15 seasons, followed by Hines Ward, John Stallworth, Larry Brown, and Terry Bradshaw. Hembo's upset by the costume. Don't hate the player. Hate the game, Hembo. You're down 15-12, and even that, you had to cheat to get there. I firmly support Graziano in this continuing battle. Meanwhile, speaking of those Steelers, and speaking of Roethlisberger, so the coach there, of course, is Mike Tomlin. And he went on Ryan Clark's podcast, which is called The Pivot. And it's an excellent conversation, by the way. And Tomlin was talking about the upcoming season and his mindset without Big Ben. And here's what he said.
I'm excited about being uncomfortable. Yeah, we might not have the type of quarterback play that we've had, have had. We might not have the special talent that we've had, but we got capable dudes, and we got a team.
We got capable dudes, and we got a team. And I really do recommend watching the entire interview. You get a real glimpse into why Tomlin has been as successful as he has been. But it does sort of beg the question, Jeff. We talked about this in our first hour without you. Are the Steelers being overlooked? They're the fourth team out of four as far as the odds at Caesars to win that division. They've got two reasonable quarterback options there in Mitch Trubisky and the rookie Kenny Pickett. They've got a ton of talent on the offensive side. They have an elite defense. Are we overlooking, is the world overlooking the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jeff doesn't hear me. I could just tell. That look on his face is the universal sign for I don't hear what Greeny is saying. He's done a good job of not making a good face. I thought that went very well. The answer to the question is what, Robert? Is the world overlooking the Steelers?
100%, Greeny. They're overlooking them. And you got to think back and listen to Mike Tomlin and what he said. He's doing coach speak 101. He's talking his guys down so they can play up. But Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. He's 18-15-1 with his backup quarterbacks as a starter. Mm-hmm. So they don't just have some guys. They've got three monsters on defense with T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, and then also Minkah Fitzpatrick, who just got paid. And on the offense, they've done a nice job of putting together a dynamic young core, starting with Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, who's made some comments recently that people disagree with him being a top three receiver. But then they also drafted George Pickens, drafted Calvin Austin III, and have Najee Harris there. So they have weapons for Mitch Trubisky and also Kenny Pickett when he does eventually take
over. Yeah, I saw those quotes. He's not a top three receiver, but I want him to think he is.
You have to.
And maybe he can play like he is this year. Jeff, we have you back now. Are we overlooking? Is Vegas and everyone else overlooking the Steelers?
Absolutely. Listen, when you think about Mike Tomlin, who's never had a losing season, and all that he brings to the table, actually with Roethlisberger leaving, it gets back more to the style that he wants to play, right? When you think about the Steelers winning Super Bowls, they had a pass-run ratio of 31 passes to 28 runs. That's nice and balanced. You think about the last couple years with Roethlisberger, they were averaging 40 passes a game. They were playing that spread offense, dink and dunk. What does Tomlin want to do? He wants to reduce possessions. He wants to slow games down, play great defense, give himself a chance to win the fourth quarter. This is cautiously optimistic Mike Tomlin, right? Like, behind closed doors, he's excited about it. Out in the public, he's telling, woe is me, losing Roethlisberger, blah, blah, blah. But this guy, man, he understands how to win football games. He understands how to bring a team together. I'm excited about the Steelers.
Fair enough. Okay, let me get one more thing in here today, which I really want to, because I want to bring up Dan Orlovsky's tweet of yesterday. So our buddy Orlovsky, who we love dearly, he loves to post things on Twitter that get people talking, and he most certainly did that yesterday. He listed his top five quarterbacks 25 or younger without really giving you the context of how he's choosing them, but one way or another, he put Mac Jones 5, Trevor Lawrence 4, Justin Herbert 3, Lamar Jackson 2, and Joe Burrow 1. Now, there was obviously a lot of reaction to people saying, well, how about Kyler Murray? How about Kyler Murray? Dan responded to that saying, I was the first person on TV to say Cards should draft Kyler number one, which is true. He said it here on this show. Tremendous talent. I will ask anyone to show me, prove to me where he has improved in his 3 years so far in the NFL. So I have two orders of business that we're going to run through these quickly that I want to get to with this list. The first is, should you're a quarterback, should Kyler Murray be on it? Should he be ahead of one of at least one of these guys?
Yeah. When I look at my notes, Kyler Murray is the only player in NFL history with 70 passing touchdowns and 20 rushing touchdowns in his first three seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what does Dan Orlovsky have against short people, right? Kyler Murray should definitely be on this list. It doesn't matter how you feel about his list. Mine is different. I got Lamar 1, Burrow, Herbert, Murray, and then Mac Jones, because you can't put Trevor Lawrence on the list ahead of Mac Jones when Mac Jones outperformed him last season. But I just don't understand that part of it. I'm flabbergasted that Kyler Murray's not on this list.
So here's the second part of this conversation, Jeff Saturday, is what exactly are we asking? Are we asking which of these quarterbacks has accomplished the most under the age of 25? Or are we asking which one would you start a team with? Because that's a reasonable question to ask about a player this young, and it is an entirely different question. So we're all going to make our picks, and Graziano is going to be the judge. Saturday, I'll let you go first. If you were picking one of these guys, any of the five or any of the quarterbacks you want under 25, Saturday, which one are you starting a franchise with?
I'm going Joe Burrow. And listen, I was one of those guys when he was coming to the league, I was questioning a bit, right? He has a very nonchalant attitude. He's kind of, you know, he's Joe Cool. And so I was a little bit skeptical. This guy has proven me wrong and shown me how good a football player he is. Think about this. He took the Cincinnati Bengals to a Super Bowl in his second year and did it being the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. I mean, this guy had 70 sacks and somehow still gets them to, or more than 70 sacks and still gets them to the Super Bowl. He has been an absolute phenom. He makes everybody around him better, makes no excuses, finds ways to win. If I was starting one, that's where I'd go.
Fair enough. Hard to argue. Which one would you choose?
Yeah, I'm rocking with Lamar Jackson, Greeny. I got no quarrels with Jeff Saturday picking Joe Burrow. He led them to the Super Bowl. But you got to remember what he looked like the year before when he was a rookie, when he didn't have Ja'Marr Chase. And Lamar Jackson, there's not a player in the league that does more for their team than Lamar Jackson does. And it doesn't matter who is out there with him. He always competes. He always leads the Ravens to just unbelievable numbers and winning percentage. I mean, the dude's won like 76% of his game.
When
so
he plays,
that's
they
my
win.
Guy.
There's no argument. And I would be thrilled to have either start a franchise with either of those guys. The obvious answer here is Zach Wilson of the New York Jets. I'm sorry. The obvious answer here, it's not the obvious answer. But my answer is Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert, under ridiculous circumstances, the way he first got the job was ridiculous. The numbers are spectacular. I think he runs about as well as just about any quarterback. He throws it about as well as any quarterback. There's nothing about him not to love. So while I think all of these would be excellent choices, if I were drafting right now, I would take him number one out of any quarterback. That's my pick. So we see the three options on the screen. Judge Graziano, who's the winner?
I just love that this all comes off of the latest entry from Dan Orlitsky. Dan Orlitsky, as we're now going to call him from now on. And I'm also a little surprised he didn't find a way to squeeze Matthew Stafford onto this list with like a phony birth certificate somehow.
Amen.
But that said, I love all these choices. I am a massive Lamar Jackson fan. I just don't trust myself as a coach to do what Greg Roman and John Harbaugh were able to do in terms of building something for Lamar. And it seems like it would be easier to put Burrow into a more traditional offense. So that'll be my tiebreaker. I'll take Burrow. Love them both. I do not think it is fair the way we talk about Lamar Jackson, and Robert can certainly speak to this, but my impression of him from what I talk to people in Baltimore, teammates, coaches, is that he's just everything Joe Burrow is in terms of a leader and how people feel about him in that building.
Well, the judge has spoken, so let it be written, so let it be done. And again, the really obvious answer here was Zach Wilson, and we somehow managed to overlook it. Awesome this morning, guys. Coming up, first takes on the way. Without Gronk, would Tom Brady still have been the GOAT? That's the question. Stephen A., RG3, Molly, and the Mad Dog answer that and more. First take, top of the hour here on ESPN. And so that is all the time and all the energy that we have for this day. Thank you for getting up with us. But the fun and the energy continue. The conversation moves across the hall. It's time for First Take right now.